Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here. Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here and what you are after.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Today we've got something very special for you viewers of Madni Channel. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Today we're going to take you on an epic journey. Now before I do, let me start with a blessing of Durood-e Pak. Now there was an incident that was very interesting because a beggar approached some disbelievers and he says to them, can you help me? And Hazrat Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala sat close by. So mocking and in a joking fashion, they think, well, we'll send him to Ali because Hazrat Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala won't have anything and so he will be embarrassed. So they say, go and ask him. So the beggar goes off to the great Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala and he says, have you got anything for me? Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala says to him, hold out your hand, clench your fist. He holds out his hand, he clenches his fist, and then Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala blows onto the wrist. He then says, go back to the disbelievers and open your hand. Now, all he'd done is blown on the hand. So this beggar goes back to the disbelievers and they're still laughing and joking, thinking, well, what's going to happen now? All he's done is he's blown onto the wrist. This was a beggar. He didn't have anything. When he goes there and he opens his hand, he has gold coins in his hand.
Allah.
They are so amazed that how did this happen? That the ones who were blessed accepted Islam. Now, when Hazrat Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala is asked the reason for this, he says that it was very simple. I recited Salatul Nabi, Durood-e Pak 10 times and I blew at the fist. And Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, the barakah, the blessings of this was, the gold coins appeared in the hand. SubhanAllah, 10 times. Now, remember this. Whenever in life you are in difficulty and you cannot find a solution to any problem, no matter what it is, whether you're ill, whether there's a calamity, whether somebody's lost, anything in the world, the universal solution to every problem that Allah Azza wa Jalla has created in this world is Durood-e Pak upon Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now I'm going to move to my guests today, and Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we have a very full team today. The entire team of Yola have blessed us for this last kind of episode in this set of series on the journey of the soul. Bisharat bhai, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Khairiyat, cheek tak?
Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. And sat next to Bisharat bhai, our beloved Habib Madni. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. You okay, Harun bhai?
MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. MashaAllah. May Allah Zawajal reward you. JazakAllah for taking the time. And the one and only, our MashaAllah Shiraz Madni, who's been with us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Now, viewers of Madni channel, we embarked on this epic journey like no other. Now, you may have seen plenty of titles saying, journey of my life experience, my life story. But your Madni channel treated you to a journey that you've never been on before. It was the journey of the soul. And this amazing journey of the soul, we took you back in time to when it all started. Allah Azza wa Jal created the soul, where it was kept, how it made promises to its Lord, and then how it waited for its turn in the world. Then we traveled to the present. And the life that we had and how we were living it and how we were expected to live it. And then we traveled to the future. And I've got two learned scholars with me. We traveled so far into the future as was humanly possible, because we arrived at the final destination, which was eternal, subhanallah. Now, this journey was full of intriguing facts, fascinating descriptions, terrifying scenes, very, very important lessons, and much, much more. And to put the journey into perspective, and the toils that man had, and the mercies and the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the purpose of our creation, and the Savior of humanity, with His mercy as to the worlds that He was sent us, we discussed a lot of things. Now, if you've missed any of the episodes, then today is your day. Because today, inshallah, we've got a 2-hour session and we're going to recap this journey of the soul. So sit back and enjoy your life, because this journey of the soul applies to every single one of us. Every one of us has experienced this in the realm of the souls. Every one of us is experiencing this journey now. And the journey into the future that we make, every one of us will make without a shadow of a doubt. So it's, you know, they say, this is your life. This is your life, my life, and their life. Let's see what it's like. Let's start with the first episode that we had. Salu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here and what you are after.
This is my life. A lot of people are thinking about life at the moment. I am something, I'm here. I've got a family, I've got a house, I'm young, I've got strength. I'm here for a long time. I'm clever, I'm skilled, I'm smart. I'm here to maximize the enjoyment of my life, to fulfill my dreams. I need to achieve my goals. I want to chill as well. But I want to maximize it. Why? Because you only live once. YOLO, they say. But let's just pause there for a second. Do we only live once? Or is there more to this life? Is the life of the soul the same as the life of the body? It is a journey that we're all on. It is a journey that we began way before we were born into this world. The question is, when did Allah Azza wa Jal create the souls? What promises did we make to our Lord? What about where we were kept before we descended into this world? From the day that Allah Azza wa Jal created the soul, it will never die. It embarked upon a journey during which the environments it was in changed. It moved from one place to another. It was an amazing journey. But have we ever thought about it?
So if you take it all the way back, right to the start of time, Allah was the only entity existing. There's a hadith of Qudsi where the Prophet ﷺ spoke the words of Allah from his blessed tongue. And the hadith of Qudsi is, "Kuntu kanzan makhfijan," that I was a hidden treasure. Allah is saying, I was a hidden treasure. "Fa'ahbabtu an u'raf," and I desired to become recognized. "Fa'khalaqtu al-khalqa fa'u'raf," so I created this creation and then I became recognized.
Allah.
So since then, Allah Azza wa Jalla created, the very first thing ever created was the nur of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. It's a beautiful memory. It seems like such a long time ago. But what we were talking about there was obviously the beginning, and as you described, Shiraz Bey, that you know, Allah Azza wa Jal existed and has existed forever, and then Allah Azza wa Jal wanted to be recognized. Allah Azza wa Jal created the nur of Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the things that was important was that, you know, with all the descriptions we had, let you visualize the day of the souls and its creation, the realm of the souls. It helped you visualize your arrival into this world. It helped you to actually see, picturize everything that we were being told. It helped you to have conceptualize the whole concept. Because we have these vague ideas of, there's these few hadith in Barakah. Yes, we were created a long time ago and the Ruh came in and everything else. But what really brought it all home was, once you started to describe it in detail. So for example, when Allah Azza wa Jal created the souls, how they were kept together, how people recognized each other, and then you said, Allah Azza wa Jal, said, am I not your Lord? And everybody said, yes, we accept. And then it went from that. And what that did, Shiraz Bay, and between yourself, Habib Bay, and Bisharat Bay, on this journey, you helped us visualize everything.
Aruba, it's not just that. I think many people don't even know that. They believe that as soon as we were born, that's when our journey started. Many Muslims, they just, because they've never actually come across understanding or learning what happened before that. So I thought it was very important, that's why we designed this series, for the Muslims and the people watching Madani Channel, that they know even before we entered the world, we had a life in our mother's stomach. And then before that, there was another world where all the souls were together. I think they needed to know that the grave was a total different, to what we understand, what the grave is, dark and lonely, which it is literally. Yeah. But it is another world as well. It could be a garden from the gardens of heaven. So I think just opening the minds of the viewers, this series was perfect for that. And this first clip that we've just listened to, Allah Azza wa Jalla initially, from the knowledge we have been given by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he created the Noor. This Noor was separated into many different segments, and then from one of them all the souls of the creation were made. These things, many Muslims don't even know about this, that we came into this dunya with a little mission to do, with a target to achieve, and this target was set by us previously. So for those people that have watched this series and understood that, we made a promise with Allah and now it's our job to fulfill that promise. Mm. For them it was, even for us, for the scholars, it's revision, to actually contemplate about, we made this promise, need to fulfill this promise.
Through this series, we've been blessed with Madni Pearls from both of you. And honestly, at times, Shahid Bhai and I were sat there mesmerized by the knowledge that we were gaining, because you could actually visualize it and it strengthens your iman as well.
Definitely. There's also narrations of when the Prophet says to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and can you remember that time?
Allah.
Straight away Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq understands, because this is the blessing of being a companion is that you get the suhbat, the companionship of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That person who has the knowledge of things from the starting of the creation, Bad al-Khalq, all the way to entrance of to Jannat and Jahannam as well. So people that are in the vicinity of Sayyidina Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they also got this knowledge as well. The many ahadith as well as in Sunan Tirmidhi as well, of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam standing up on the minbar and delivering the lectures of what happened from the starting of creation all the way till people entering Jannat and Jahannam. The people that were there, whoever memorized it, they memorized it, and whoever forgot it, they forgot it. So that time when the Prophet mentioned that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, can remember that time. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq straight away understood what the Prophet was referring to. So this is the beauty of Islam, is that Alhamdulillah, we've given a system. This world is a system, this world is a place of action. And what we do in this world, how we live our life, that is what's going to be, the gateway to the next life. That what we do in this world, is it going to be something that's going to grant us heaven, to paradise, or is it something that's going to make us enter into fire of hell?
So that's amazing, because there's an old Punjabi sher that kun fayakun di kalti galya se pehle di preet lagayi hui hai. And there's some vakyas about the Buzurganidin. He used to say, I recognize you from the alam-e arwah. You know, I recognize you from the realm of the souls. And you know, this is the amazing ability that Allah gives them.
There's an incident where there was a master and a slave. And the master and slave had a lot of connection between them. They had a very good attachment, this bond between them. And they were on a journey on a ship. And the master says to the slave, that catch a fish and fry it for me. So he starts to fry it. But what had happened was they reached their destination and they began doing the trading. They forgot about the fish. It was one entire year later when they embarked on that same trade journey again. So they went on that same journey and the slave knew that my master ordered fish last year. So he picked out a fish again and he cooked it. He says, Master, do you want salt on it or not? So, now even though it's 1 year later, now you'd think you'd probably forget, the master would have probably thought, what are you on about? But the master replied, and he knew exactly what my slave is asking, and the slave remembered the fact that my master ordered fish from me last year. You know, and this incident is used to show the love between these two people, this bond that they have. So the Prophet ﷺ, when he says to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, that Ya Siddiq, do you remember? Now these two people had so much love and that connection and bond between them. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq didn't say, you know, what are you talking about? He says, I remember that you were the first one to say Bala. Yani this is how much connection that they had, that there was no sual, even if it was many time ago. It wasn't just a year, it was a long period
millions of years ago.
Now, but that was their bond, that connection, that they did not forget the actual, you know, what. So the Prophet ﷺ was asking him randomly, and Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq saying, Ya Rasulullah, I even remember the time when you said Bala. You were the first one to say it. This is true connection that they had.
On the spiritual level, though, there were times where people used to come to the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and because Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala had immersed himself so much in the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he had completely, you know, he'd finished himself, all he was the personification of the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The people used to think that this is the Prophet of Allah azza wa jal, and he had to try and distinguish himself. I remember coming across a hadith in Barakah where this was happening, so he stood up and gave shade to the best of creation sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that the people knew that what was happening. Bishad bhai, the introduction on the soul.
Subhanallah azza wa jal, you know, we've learned so much. It's been a beautiful time on the silsila, alhamdulillah azza wa jal. Just wanted to say, look, you know, the ruh is something, you know, that's part of us. And we think to ourselves that, you know, it was created within the realm of the souls. And, you know, now we're in the dunya, you know, we learn about barzakh, you know, then we learn about jannat and jahannam. This is like throughout the whole of the silsila. Right at the beginning, you know, one of the first things that we learn is before we come into this dunya, we have, you know, we make that agreement with Allah Almighty.
Allahu Akbar.
We make that agreement with Allah Almighty that, you know, we're going to worship you. You know, we're going to come on this earth.
Subhanallah, that's a beautiful point. That. So we're going to move to our next clip. I think, obviously, we're in the realm of the souls. Allah has created us, and then Allah creates man. So let's look at the next clip and see where that takes us. The realm of the souls is there. Allah Azza wa Jal has taken the promise and the oath, and then there were certain responsibilities that were given. So everybody's waiting. What happens next?
Well, at this point, remember Allah Azza wa Jalla had already created the skies and earth at this point.
Subhanallah.
So it was ready made. And so the animals and all sorts were already on the planet. Even we've actually missed out a part. There were jinns on the earth prior to all this.
Prior to creation of the souls?
No. So prior to humans getting here.
Ah, prior to humans, okay.
So that's a separate subject. He decided to send humans onto the earth as his representative, as like an ambassador. And he chose Adam alayhi salam as his selected first prophet alayhi salam. So the dunya, the earth was created, it was prepared, and Adam alayhi salam for 40 years, his body in Jannat was without a soul.
Allah.
And this is where the Hadith Sharif comes in. Kuntu nabijan wa adamu bayna ruhi wal jasad. That I was, Tirmizi Sharif, I was a Nabi. Prophet says that I was a Nabi between the time Adam alayhi salam was a soul and body. So whilst Adam alayhi salam was in that phase where his soul hadn't entered his body, Prophet was already an existing
Allah.
Nabi.
This is in relation to Zahira ke Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and Bibi Hawa radiallahu ta'ala anha. They were in Jannat. Yes, actual Jannat. Before they came into the world, they were in Jannat, that Jannat that the Muslims will enter after Yawm al-Qiyamah as well.
Allah.
And Alhamdulillah Azawajal, they enjoyed the benefits of Jannah whilst they were there as well. And this is something, Alhamdulillah Azawajal, that is within the beliefs of the Ahl Sunnah. Alhamdulillah Azawajal.
So basically, Allah Azawajal then created Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, Hazrat Hawa radiallahu ta'ala anha, and they were in Jannat. And then because of what happened, the shaitan, Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, Hazrat Hawa radiallahu ta'ala anha, were blessed with coming to the earth. And Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam then asked for forgiveness through the wasila of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was forgiven. But the amazing thing is, the scholars write that if it was, na'uzubillah, like some people say, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam committed a sin, or that is complete blasphemy and that's wrong. And if it was, there's a beautiful point that the scholars make. They say that, you know, if you're on a position and then for some reason if you make a mistake, then you'll get demoted, won't you? But Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, when his repentance was accepted in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla, he was actually raised in rank even further. And that shows that it was, na'uzubillah min zalik, not a sin of any sort. It was just the journey that Allah Azza wa Jalla has planned for the great Hazrat Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, and how he became the father of mankind. And so then they started to have children. And I think you took us then to Hazrat Habil, and Qabil, his brother who killed him, and then the two sects that separated and how they went on the earth. And
so you know the point where I missed the jinns.
Mm-hmm.
So even I think when we got, I think it was probably that episode when I thought, oops, we've missed a point. So before Adam alayhi salam was created, there was on the world, on the earth, there was already jinns around. Allah Azza wa Jalla created them. Remember that incident when Allah Azza wa Jalla says that I'm going to make an ambassador in the earth, when I have fashioned him, designed him, and have put a soul inside him, then do sajda towards him. Then the angels say, Ya Allah Azza wa Jalla, are you going to create someone like human that's going to cause corruption once again? Because the jinns done that. So the jinns, basically, there were two tribes, they clashed, they had a war, and it was brutal, basically. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla punished them, and then from thereafter Allah said to the angels that now I'm going to make such a creation that they will be my ambassador. The angels said, are you going to make such and such with free will? Once again, they're going to cause chaos, some bloodshed, the words that were used in the Quran. Allah says that إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, that I know what you don't know.
Allah.
And then Allah Azza wa Jalla created Adam alayhi salam. And then taught him certain things, the names of everything, I think 200,000 languages, different accents. So taught him everything, the ilm of everything. And so he was sent on the earth, and like you mentioned, the sabab of him coming to the earth. And from him, the lineage started of civilization.
It's amazing, because our journey of the soul, once you're into this world, We've come into this world. Now, there's got to be a purpose. We created an alam rabab, the realm of the souls. We then sent into this world. And, you know, the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jalla, we made the promise. So, what was the purpose? What was the purpose? Why were we here? What was the ultimate goal that we had to achieve? Why were we sent here?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains this in Surah Al-Mulk, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He sent us to test us, that which amongst you does the good actions. So the main aim and aspect of coming into the world is that we try to perform them actions that will cause us success, salvation in the hereafter. The worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the main essence as well. Like in another verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that Allah created the jinn and the ins for the worship of him. So the main purpose of a man, of a human in this world, is that we try to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, his sifat, his attributes, and gain the ma'rifat of Allah and worship him and gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that in the hereafter we can be in the gardens of
paradise. But if it was just worship, Allah Zawajal had the angels. They can't disobey Allah Zawajal. They worship day and night. You know, there's heavens full of angels in qiyam, in ruku, in sujood, in tashahud. You know, that's full, you know. So what was the difference between this creation and, you know, the angels that had already existed?
You know, the inna aradna lamanata ala samawati wal ardi wal jibal. That was the actual backbone of this entire series. From that's where everything ignited from. So going back and explaining that, Allah Azawajal asked the skies, earth, and the mountains. This is some of the things that he asked. Do you want this trust, this amana, this responsibility? They said no. With respect, they said no, we can't take it. فَأَبَيْنَا إِنْ يَحْمِلْنَهَا, that they refused to, you know, carry this burden. وَحَمْلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ, the insan accepted this. That's where everything started from.
Shabba, what really, I don't know, frightens me, scares me, but also shocks me is the reality of it, that you spent thousands of years in the realm of the souls. You're eventually born into this world. Then, when you leave this world, you spend thousands of years in your grave. Then you spend thousands of years on the plains of resurrection. You then spend eternity in Jannah or Jahannam, in paradise or hell. But yet, it is all based upon this little time, this 60-year life. And within that 60-year life, if you take out the 15 years of, you know, when you're a child and you're growing up, and then you take out the last 10 or 15 years when you're old and you've got nowhere else to go and you can't go, does it boil down to this, how you spend the 30, 40 years?
I remember discussing this with Shiraz by saying, you know, the previous nations, they had, you know, such a long lifespan. At the time of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, 900 years. And look at the ummatis of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where we average an age of 60 years old.
Allah.
But look at how lucky we are that we were in the realm of the arwa of the souls, and we came into this world, and Allah Ta'ala, you know, gave us the opportunity to come as ummatis of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Subhanallah.
You know, and how much, you know, gratitude can we give
Allah?
You know, we could have come at any time.
Well, that's a beautiful point. I mean, out of billions and billions of people who are put on the earth, who have to find their way back to Allah, because that's in essence, there was a beautiful book by Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam, radiallahu anhu, and he said, in essence, what we're doing is, we've been put on this earth, we've got to find the route back to Allah Azza wa Jal. And that route back to Allah Azza wa Jal is through His obedience. And you make a beautiful point that Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed us with a head start. I mean, basically, while others are searching for the path in a jungle, in a dark jungle, Allah Azza wa Jal has said that I will make you ummatis of my beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and I will light up the path for you, and you can just walk down it. And it's so simple as well, that you read, I won't burden you, read five namaz on day, carry on with the rest of your thing, and, you know, read the Quran, act upon the sunnahs, but live your life, enjoy your life. I'll give you all the blessings, and I'll give you everything else. And then, not only that, I'll give you an easy death, I'll give you a grave that's a garden of paradise, and I'll give you paradise itself. I mean, in simple terms, that's it, isn't it? That's it. We've got to move on to the next one. Let's see what the next one was. I think, from recollection, it was leaving this world, because this world is a test. And really, it's the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and this is that short test. Let's see what it is. Can we play the next clip? Salu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Surah Mulk, when you recite it at night, and this is the glorious surah of the amazing Quran. But at the beginning, in the second verse, Allah Azza wa Jalla says that death and life was created to test you. Now, death is mentioned before life.
And everything in the Quran is amazing. There's a reason for the exact, you know, the sequence of the words as well, because the Quran is just full of pearls and corals and jewels. Now, why did Allah Azza wa Jalla, the creator of the heavens and the earth, mention death before life in this amazing verse of the Quran?
There's different interpretations. The Mufassirun give different reasons. One of the very famous ones that we all are aware about is that death comes before life does.
Allah.
Meaning, Allah created the dunya. The dunya is death, it's temporary. It will finish. And the actual hayat, the actual life that we will live forever is when we go away from, depart from this dunya.
Allah.
And that's one of the main reasons. Another reason is that Allah has put death first so that you prepare for this first. Prepare for your death first before you prepare for your life.
Okay.
So is to make you aware of what's, and then in the second half of the ayat, Allah Azza wa Jalla says that لِيَبَلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, to test you that who will be better in performing righteous acts. So Allah has put death first and saying, he's alerting you, look, death is first. Prepare for this, do good deeds for this, is to give the insana understanding that I need to prioritize death.
Now, what we really summed up there is the essence of our existence and how it's timed. So, you know, the clock's ticking from the moment we entered this world to the time decreed by Allah Azza wa Jalla, and this limited time we were given to fulfill everything that we needed to do, which was to keep the promise we'd made and to prepare for our grave, the day of judgment, and then the ultimate prize. And so it was restricted to that. Now, a lot of people are unfortunate enough to deny the existence of Allah. A lot of people are unfortunate enough to deny the prophets of Allah. And some are foolish enough to deny anything. There are even some foolish ones who deny, you know, they deny everything that can be denied. But even they can't deny death, can they?
Allah.
They can't, can they? So that's the reality of where we are. The next one we did was the death, that we are all, every one of us. I mean, if I said, you know, everybody on the surface of the earth now will, in 100 years, be dead. Perhaps you get a few, maybe 0.0001% who have just been, you know, in their infancy now, who may survive to 100, very few people do these days. But apart from them, 99.99% of the people living on the surface of the earth, all 6.9 billion of them, will be dead in 100 years and will be replaced by Allah Azza wa Jalla, how many more billions? And that's the reality of life, isn't it?
But unfortunately, you know, we don't really, whilst we're on the earth, we don't actually acknowledge that. We don't spend our life preparing for that. You know, the actual term, YOLO, we only live once. That's the mindset we have day to day. So we wake up just to live that day, to earn for that day. We don't actually think, okay, today, whatever I do today is going to affect me. For example, 20,000 years down the line is going to affect me then.
Allah,
we don't actually think like, you know, the knock-on effect that today has for tomorrow.
Allah, the reality of life.
The reality of life. Mufti Amjad Ali Azmi, who was the Khalifa of Allah Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi, in his book Bahari Shariat, he gives a definition of death as well. He says that the separation of the soul from the body is death. So something that we need to all recognize is one day this is going to happen to us, and it's a reality that, like you said, whether you're a believer in God, atheist, agnostic, whoever you are, you will all agree that we are going to die one day. And this transition from this worldly life to the next life, this transaction of which is also called intiqal. So when a person dies, we say intiqal because he's transferred from this world to the next world. This all depends upon how well we spent our life. So are we going to have that as an easy transition? Meaning if we were righteous in the world, the angel of death will take our soul easily. If we were people that were evil, spread corruption in the world, you know, disobey the commandments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set for us, then unfortunately, it's said that the soul will be taken out with force, like a thorn is put into some cotton wool and then ripped out.
Allah,
so the pain of death will then also be a burden upon us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all from the pains and the severities of the death.
Transition and transfer, two words. And all of this journey actually is just transition, isn't it? Because, Shazba, you mentioned YOLO. You only live once. And what people do is they take it in that short context of the 60-year life being you only live once. And in that context, it is actually to an extent true, isn't it? Because you only get that exam, that chance once. Mm. But when we looked at it, we analyzed it in different ways, and sometimes we said, well, you live twice because obviously you're resurrected as well. But actually, in one way, YOLO does apply, doesn't it? Because you only live once. If you look at the life of the soul, you only live once. Mm. These are all transfers, transitions, stations on that journey of the soul. Because the soul never dies, does it? So, you know, the soul remains forever, and if it remains forever, you can, in that context, you can say, YOLO, you only live once.
I was going to mention, I thought Shiraz Bhai was going to mention the description of Malakul Maut.
Allah!
Yeah. I think in one of the episodes he gave a very good description. And, you know, we learn from that, if you're a good person in this life, then Malakul Maut, when he comes to take your soul, then, you know, he'll come in the form where, you know, it'll be a pleasant form, and alhamdulillah azza wa jal, your soul will be taken. But then you've got, you know, if you're a bad person, he'll come in the form of, he'll come in a way which is unpleasant. And unfortunately, when your soul is taken, it will be taken abruptly. And, you know, we learn from, you know, the pious predecessors and even the Anbiya alayhi salam, you know, the waqia of Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, where Malakul Maut comes to him. And initially, Hazrat Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he, you know, slaps him and his eye comes out of his socket, and he returns to Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah Almighty then commands him to go back. And then eventually, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam says, if you don't take my soul now, you know, what will happen? And he goes, eventually I'm going to take your soul.
Allah.
And, you know, and with the, you know, with his permission, alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, he then...
We've got a clip in relation to the bad soul. And how the soul, you know, the angel of death takes the soul out of the body. Let's have that. Salu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu. Is the good state soul treated the same way as the bad soul? What does the glorious Quran tell us about this?
Harun by the glorious Quran, in many places, discusses how the angel of death and the armies of angels that accompany the angel of death take out the souls of various different people.
Allah.
In particular, Surah An-Nazi'at is of special importance to this topic because it begins with this discussion. And not only does it begin with this discussion, but in this surah, right at the very beginning, right from the outset, Allah Almighty takes an oath by the angels that have been tasked to take out the souls of people at the time of death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقَى. An oath by the angels that drag with force. And then the second verse states, وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطَى. An oath by the angels that gently undo knots. So what does this mean? Scholars of Tafsir, I have Tafsir Jalalain in front of me. It states, الْمَلَائِكَةُ تَنْزِعُ أَرْوَاحَ الْكُفَّارِ. The angels refer to in the first verse, who drag forcefully. This refers to those angels who drag the souls of disbelievers with force. And the second verse, which mentions the angels who gently undo knots, this is a reference to those angels who الْمَلَائِكَةُ تُنْشِطُ أَرْوَاحَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Those who gently draw out the soul of the believer by loosening, as if they are loosening a knot. In the same way that somebody loosens a knot, it's a knot that's loosened and the soul is released from the body of the believer. So this is an introduction from the Holy Quran itself.
Is there a particular with the ayah mubarakas that you quoted, is there a distinction? I mean, because the first one you mentioned, the translation of, it seemed like it was more of a jerking, a snatching, a violent action, whereas the second one was, you described as much more gentle. Does that differentiate between any particular type of...
Yeah, so in this particular context, as is clarified by the tafsir, this is talking about the believers and the non-believers.
Allah.
So the believers, their souls are drawn out gently, and the non-believers, their souls are pulled out with force. And there are different angels who are tasked with each category of mankind.
I mean, there's mention there of the soul being taken out and how it will be taken out. And I think the question I asked our Ustad, Mubin Madni Sahib, was that, how will it be for the believer and the disbeliever? And it'll be snatched away, I mean, it will be torn from them. And the Haditha Mubarakah that you mentioned in relation to the cloth as well. And for the believer, for the one who spent his life in the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the one who prayed his salah, who wasn't too tired or too sleepy to get up for Fajr and too tired to pray Isha, it'd be gently knotted and just taken out beautifully. Mm. And this death in itself, it's an experience we're all going to have to go through.
Rumbai, what is, our soul has been attached to the body for example, 60 years. Then for our soul to leave the body, it's not easy for it.
Allahu Akbar. So the actual punishment at the time of death is very severe, and that we should obviously try and be obedient in the code of Allah. But the grave itself, I mean, it's... Then, as you know, Habib said, there's a transition, but then if you've been disobedient in this world, it starts a transition of, your soul being taken and the punishments and then the grave. Now, okay, at the time of death, you said that the Muslim gets this opportunity to redeem himself in the sense that if he's made mistakes, been disobedient, Allah just says, here's the pain, and wipe out some of his sins. What about the actual grave? So you've been put in the grave, you've passed the death. The connection between the body and the soul has broken. You've been put into the grave, and now there is this pit, dark, lonely, 7 foot by 2 foot wide, 3 foot wide. Let's look at a clip for that, and then we'll come back to you. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just imagine you've got an exam. You prepare for that. You try to learn everything you can. And those who are not prepared for the exam, they are always panicking. And you'll have seen them outside the exam room thinking, oh, I should have learnt this, and I should have done this, and I should have stayed up at night, and I should have done this. It's too late. Too late. But what if you had somebody who loved you so much that he gave you the questions that are about to be asked in the exam, and you had the opportunity to look at the questions and prepare the answers? How confident would you be? The good soul arrives at the grave. What does he, what meets him? What greets him? What's there?
So in the Quran, there's an ayat: "Farouqun wa rayhanun wa jannatu na'im." What this means is the commentators have mentioned that as soon as he gets to his grave, he's welcomed by flowers, roses, rayhan, different like beautiful plants, and he feels the fragrance of them. And this is what he sees in the grave whilst he is basically being lowered. And his grave, what we see as like a muddy ditch, is actually full of flowers and fragrance. This is for a good person. And whilst he is lowered in, now for a good person, he will see the Prophet ﷺ lowering him in. So when you have that, someone who's there that is looking after you, this gives you a sukoon, tranquility, it calms you down, because you're going from an old dimension into somewhere new you've never been before. For a good person, when he's in the grave, if you remember about the person who reads the Quran and what the angels do for him, the Quran comes to him in a nurani form. This is for a good person who reads the Quran. When he is getting into the graveyard, he will see rows of angels even in his funeral at the graveyard. And now when the coffin is being brought towards the grave, angels make two lines, and they basically make two lines, and he will be able to see this, and they are welcoming him into his grave, his final abode.
Allahu Akbar. So Habibi, the grave of a bad person, this is a person who's been disobedient in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla, ignored the rights and thought life is all about chilling out, getting property, and YOLO in that sense, you know, you only live once.
The first of all, it will press the deceased so much so that the chest will interlock with each other, the bones will come and interlock with each other. That is one of the first, you can say, the things that are going to happen to the person when he is entered into the grave, and especially if he is a disobedient person. And then there's various other punishments of the grave that he will receive. One thing is that we should always make dua that Allah gives us death with iman and saves us from the punishment of the grave.
How long does this punishment last, just before I move on? I mean, you know, is it a short-lived punishment?
It depends on how bad the person is. Sometimes if he's a if he was an obedient person but did a few sins, then it will just be a short little thing. But if it's a long-lasting thing, or if he was a disbeliever, then it's all the way to the Day of Judgment.
Allahu Akbar. And then that was the bad soul. We shall be the good soul.
I mean, the good soul, the first thing that comes into mind when you think of the grave is Nigrani Shura, when he motivates us and he says to us, Zameen ke upar madni kaam aur kabar mein aaram. And Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, if you spend your life, you know, in the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal, following the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal, why aren't you going to do aram in your grave? When it's gonna, when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself has said, your grave is either a garden from the gardens of paradise or a pit from the pits of hell. So if it's going to be a garden of paradise, the fear, you know,
we've got a clip of that as well, the grave of the good soul. If we can play that. The good soul.
Subhanallah.
And when it departs, angels line the streets welcoming it. Its grave is like a bouquet of flowers. As the family are buried, it is brought down very respectfully, very gracefully. The angels come in a beautiful form. They ask him the questions. Who is your Lord? The same questions. What is your deen? What did you say about this amazing hasti and the beautiful face of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has shown? But this time it's different. It's different because the questions aren't asked and the answers aren't sought from the tongue or the brain. No. The answers are sought from the heart. And the heart replies, that I spent my days and my nights bringing coolness to the eyes of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, prostrating in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, my Lord is Allah. Then they ask, what is your deen? And he says, I spent my life trying to obey the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal, my deen is Islam. And then they say, who is this beautiful hasti? Who is this beautiful personality? And he then says, marke pocha hu yahan. This is the moment I've been waiting for all my life. You know, I couldn't wait to die because I knew that when I died I would see the best of creation. I want to present my salams in the court of the best of creation. Salatu wassalamu alayki ya Rasulullah is what he'll say. That is the arrival in the grave of the good soul.
Every grave on the outside looks same. It's like a hump with a gravestone, but in the inside of something that we can't see, it's much different. It's a different dimension that our eyes and our minds cannot comprehend. For some people, it's a garden. For some, it's a ditch from the fire of hell.
But it's amazing how the servants of Allah Azza wa Jal, the pious people of Allah Azza wa Jal, when they die, it's something amazing as well, and the signs are amazing. And their grave is something special as well. I mean, the angels lining the streets and everything else. I had an experience today which reminded me of a hadith of Abarka. There's a hadith of Abarka, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it's a very famous hadith of Abarka, that on the Day of Judgment, because of the ablution, the wuzu that my ummatis used to do, their azai wuzu will shine. So the places, you know, the face, the arms, and the head, and the feet, they will shine. And we did the ghusl of a buzurg, rahmatullah, today. They passed away last night in their sleep. And when we were doing buzurg, this buzurg, for the last, as long as somebody can, anybody can remember, they're the ones who used to come and open the masjid, be the first ones there, they used to do the azan, they used to do everything, and they were the last ones out, locking up. As far as it was, since we were young. And so their duty was the masjid, you know. Mm. And they passed away. And one thing I saw with my own eyes, as we were doing ghusl, was their face was shining, their arms were shining, and their feet were shining. To the extent that I said there and then, I had a scholar with me as well,
and I had sons around and other people. And I said, that, said, just look at the face, look at the arms, and look at the feet. And honestly, it was as if they were shining. And I'm a witness to that from today. And these are the people who spent those, because life is short. And these are the people who spent that time in the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, now is the day for reward, isn't it? Now is the day where, like you said, zameen ke upar kaam, zameen ke niche aram. They've done all the hard work. They did the kaam. So Allah Azza wa Jal said, now is the time of, you know, for you to take, have the rewards and the beautiful gifts from Allah Azza wa Jal. We've got to move on. I'm gonna go to my next clip, because I don't know, where did we go from there? So the journey of the soul.
We went from the minor signs, major signs.
Oh, minor signs of Qiyamah,
Dajjal,
yes.
Ya'juj, Ma'juj.
Let's have the next clip and let's see what it is. We'll keep everybody
surprises.
In suspense, because I don't know what it
surprises.
Is.
Let's...
Bad soul arrives in the grave. He's been asked the questions. It was a terrorizing scene. The angels of the grave, lightning in their eyes, voice like thunder, long hair, long teeth, a very horrific scene. Ask them the question, who is your Lord? What is your deen? Who is this beautiful personality? And he says, Ladri, I don't know. This was the soul that was too busy to pray Salah. This was the soul that ignored the rights of his parents. This was the soul that didn't have time to read the Quran. And then, this is the soul that now arrives and he thinks, where am I?
Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, how he follows a janaza to the Qabristan and he cries, and when they're talking, the companions are talking to him and they're saying, you don't cry when paradise and hell are mentioned, but you cry a lot by graves. You know, what's the reason behind this? And he replies and he says, I heard from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the first stage of the afterlife is the grave. And if a deceased person attains deliverance, yani is forgiven, then this at this stage, you know, the subsequent matters are going to be easier, yani the hereafter is going to be easier for him. But if he doesn't receive deliverance, then at this stage, then the matters of the after, yani on the day of judgment, they're going to be even more severe.
So I think that was in relation to the grave. And I think we're looking at the time, we're running short, we've got a long journey to go. If you play the next clip, we will know where we went after that, because really, from the grave, is your guess right? Did we go to the minor signs of Qiyamah?
Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that up until the day of judgment, the arrival, the end times, is a time which will be full of trials and tribulation. There will be signs leading up to the day of judgment. The way that the world develops, the way that things happen, there will be some minor signs of the day of judgment. Then there will be some major signs will appear from which you will know that we are heading close to Qiyamah. These trials and tribulations will be so much that it will be one after the other, fitna after fitna after fitna. Wherever you look around, all you will see is trials, tribulations, and fitnas everywhere. And Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I have been sent close to Qiyamah like this. And Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised two of the blessed fingers next to each other. So that's how close we are to that final day of resurrection and that day of judgment.
Era to era, each prophet and their ummah, their nation was told that the hour is close. And now the final prophet, when he came, imagine how close it would be to us at this moment in time. And very famously, اقتربت الساعة وانشق القمر, that the moon has been split. The Prophet ﷺ, his very famous miracle, that he split the moon into two pieces. And there the ayat says that the moon has been split and the hour is near. So like there's like a timeline from a long time ago. Allah Azza wa Jalla has repeatedly reminded the nations that the final day of judgment is very close.
So it was the minor signs of Qiyamah, you were right. And what we were just looking at is the minor signs leading up, and the first one that you mentioned there, that Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mujizah Mubarak of splitting the moon into two. And a lot of the minor signs we discussed, you will remember,
we have started to see in relation to the world around us. And what should that really trigger in us? I mean, we haven't got the time, obviously, to go into the signs, because we did that in the episode, and you can go back and look at it on YouTube and Facebook and everything else. But what should this trigger in? There's no doubt that the majority of the minor signs we can now see. So what should we be doing, Shazbi?
For some people, it's more yakin that the Prophet ﷺ's message was true because I could see everything.
Allah.
So now, if this is true, then what's after that is true, and then what's after that is like a domino effect. All the way up until Jannat must be true because the Prophet ﷺ said it like this.
So it's kind of more proof of the truthfulness of the most truthful person who's ever existed.
Who's been sent by the truth as well.
Subhanallah. We've got another clip in relation to the minor signs. We play that.
Now, in relation to time, it was mentioned that time would go fast. And this is one of the signs of Qiyamah. I just wanted to ponder upon that. I mean, what does it mean when time goes fast? I mean,
there's like a few different explanations. One is that time will actually go faster. So like, you know, the 24 hours. There will be a time where the 24 hours won't really be 24 hours. I mean, the clocks will still spin for 24 hours, but the actual time, if you compare it 10 years before that, you're getting less time out of the 24 hours. The scientists have predicted that there will be a time where the Earth moving around and, you know, this orbit system, something's gonna happen, and they could see it in the future that what's gonna happen is, it's going to spin around faster. And the time one day will become shorter, 1 month will become shorter, 1 year will become shorter. They say that this is possible in the future. And you know the hadith about Dajjal, where he will live for 1 year, 1 month, and 1 week, or 1 day like a Friday. And there's different narrations. So that gives you a hint as well that actual time, there will be some sort of actual time issue where the time is actually delayed and then shortened. So 1 year would be 1 month. And there is so much entertainment in front of us, there's so many activities to do that the time goes so fast we don't realize what happened.
Shirazbhai gave us a summary of exactly what we should be doing as we see the minor signs. But what sort of message should we be leaving our generations? Because the Qiyamah could come any time, but it may not come in our generation. But how do we pass this message on to our future generations?
Main thing is to teach our children. The hadith of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam that tell me about Islam, about Iman, Ihsan. People just, the scholars of Islam and the ulama have given their own interpretations, and people many of times just stick to them three things: Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. But there's actually a fourth element of the hadith, which is the signs of the Qiyamah. So this is a big part of religion as well, something that we need to convey
a very good point
to our children.
That we often neglect. Yeah. You know, you get very few. You know, one thing I noticed is that apart from Madni Channel and Amir al-Sunnat, a lot of people treat, in the religious scholars, they treat death and Qiyamah and the signs of Qiyamah as if it's a taboo subject.
Yeah.
And they don't emphasize it. Halanki Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, remember death excessively. And we've got another clip before I come back to Bisharat Bhai in relation to these signs of Qiyamah, because these days they were mesmerizing a lot of people. A lot of people want to know about them. And this is why, you speak to the youngsters, that's a sign of Qiyamah, that's a sign of Qiyamah and everything else here. But
there's a problem.
Time for Azan will be in the walk the other way.
Rumba, there's a problem because everyone nowadays, yeah, it's like, any little thing, and then basically what they're doing is making a mockery of the narrations. They do it in Ramadan as well. Whoever fasts 30 days and does this, you know, they make the mockery of Ramadan, of Islam, of these minor signs or major signs of Judgment Day. That's one thing that puts people off as well, because when they narrate this hadith, in the person who's listening, his mind, he's thinking about the joke that he made out of it. So they make a mockery out of the narration.
And that's one of the vaswasas of the shaitan, to lead you astray. It's a trick of the shaitan, because what he does is he makes you, it's blasphemy, isn't it, in the court of Allah. There are, you know, you shouldn't be making a mockery of anything. But what the shaitan does is, at its highest, he makes you make a mockery of the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, na'uzubillah min zalik.
And you don't even realize it.
The teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We'll go to this clip and I'll come back to Musharad Bhai.
It's a time to think and ponder who we are, what journey we're on, and where we're going, how close we are to the end time, how close we are to our graves, and what we're going to do about it. Minor signs of the day of judgment. Now, there are some fascinating ones. There's the mention of a mountain of gold to be disclosed beneath the river Euphrates, what that means, and whether that's happened, is that something we're waiting for? What is it?
Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he narrates a hadith, and the Prophet says that لا تقوم الساعة حتى يحسر الفرات عن جبل من ذهب, that the hour will not come until Furat, Euphrates, its surrounding vicinity, shoots up a mountain from Dhahab. Dhahab means gold. The Prophet in this specific hadith said that, look, there will be a mountain near the river of Euphrates, which will be a golden mountain. Now, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan, he says that this is literal, i.e. there will be a golden mountain. And now what's amazing about this hadith, the Prophet says that the people will fight over this gold. The people will fight over this gold until, so what will happen in these wars basically over this gold, 99 out of 100 people will die. And each one of them will say that, you know, will think to themselves that I will be the one that survives.
So basically the signs of judgment, again, Shiraz Bey was there explaining, you know, how people will fight over money and wealth and everything else. And then the river Euphrates you mentioned as well in the minor signs of Qiyamah. Do you, Shiraz Bey?
I was going to say, you know, as Shiraz Bey mentioned earlier on, which was the yaqeen, when these minor signs of judgment are occurring, it gives that yaqeen. But at the same time, think about our actions as well. Our actions, whatever we're doing on a day-to-day basis, you know, this is something, you know, that, like for example, if we're committing sins, then the reality of it is that, you know, we're going to have to face up to these sins. The other thing that I was going to mention was in relation to, you know, we're going to have to give account on the Day of Judgment. And the Dajjal's fitna as well, that there will be people at the time of the Dajjal's fitna that will be protected from his fitna as well. So even though these sort of things are out there and they're taking place, we've got to look at it from this point of view, that how am I, what am I doing with my actions? And if I'm busy in the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, then inshallah Allah Ta'ala will protect me from, you know, what's coming in terms of...
So another way that we can look at it is that, am I contributing towards the speed of the Day of Judgment, the signs of judgment to increase?
And am I part of those signs?
Am I part of those signs? So we need to analyze ourselves, that am I part of them, signs of the Day of Judgment?
That's a very good point. Viewers of Madni Channel, we're on this journey that initially took us 10 months and about 35 episodes, and today we were doing a summary of that for you. Now, alhamdulillah, we've got to probably two-thirds of the way through. We're going to move into the next phase, which is very interesting, because I want to take a lead from what Musharad Bhai said. He mentioned the Dajjal. But before he comes, it's Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Mahdi radiallahu ta'ala. Let's watch a clip in relation to that.
Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam had told us about, you know, the collapse of moral values, earthquakes, destruction of cities, an apocalypse, wars, anarchy, injustice, all these things, you know, the fact that modesty would disappear, all these things that Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told us about, most of those have happened. So what is the major sign then that is going to really start off this final run towards the Day of Judgment? That sign, that great event, is none other than the arrival of Hazrat Imam Mahdi radiallahu ta'ala. This amazing personality will grace the world Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam informed us that his name will be the same as mine, i.e. he will be called Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name in Mubarak is his name as well. But not only that, did he share that quality with Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the name of his father will be the same as the name of the father of the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Muhammad ibn Abdullah,
Imam Mahdi, so that is his title, Imam Mahdi. Mahdi means the guide, the real guide. And his real name is Muhammad bin Abdullah. Like you said, his father's name would be the same as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is his title and his name. And he will be born like a normal person is born. So in later days from now, he will be born into a family, a Sayyid family.
Is this amazing personality who is going to arrive? I mean, where is he going to be from? Let's start from there.
There's a few opinions in this. Some scholars say he's going to be born in Medina. Some say he's going to be born in Yemen. So there's a few opinions from there.
I think the dominant one was Madinatul Munawwara.
Yeah, so scholars do say that the dominant one is Madinatul Munawwara. In regards to how his appearance was, it's mentioned that his forehead, mashallah, was a broad forehead. And this is actually, if you look at the knowledge of face reading, and according to face reading, the forehead is actually a sign, a big forehead, a wide forehead is a sign of intelligence and nobility as well. And it's actually one of the traits of the Holy Prophet as well, that he had a wide forehead.
So we went through the journey of the soul, and then we saw the minor signs of Qiyamah, and then we had the first major sign, Hazrat Imam Mahdi radiallahu ta'ala. And this was, I think you said he was the guide, he was there to bring the Muslims together. To reunite?
Yeah, reunite everyone. Bring them all together.
And to do what though?
Put peace back into the world. He's the savior of the people. People at that time, because it's going to be so hectic, everyone will need someone to come. They're waiting, anticipating that someone will come and help us. There'll be famine, poverty everywhere. When he comes, he will begin to take over lost cities, establish a proper Islamic state and put peace, harmony, unity back into the world.
So the first major sign, Hazrat Imam Mahdi, he's here to bring the Muslims together and to guide them. And then the second major sign, let's play the clip. Isa alayhi salam, amazing personality. We know that his arrival into this world was something truly amazing. We know that the time he spent in this world was magnificent.
The name of this blessed prophet is Isa, and he is the son of Maryam. A few of his titles are Kalimatullah, Masih, Wajih, and Muqarrab, as well as Salih.
Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was raised into the heavens and has remained there. And on the blessed night of Mi'raj, as well, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam as well. And we know that, at this stage, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, after their miraculous birth, was raised up without having their soul taken. But this hadith of Mubarakah that I read shows that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam will return. And there is another hadith in Mubarakah, Habibai, which you're going to help us with, Sahih Muslim Sharif. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Allah azza wa jal sends Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, he will descend on the eastern white minaret of Jamia Masjid Damascus wearing two light yellow robes and will be resting his hands on the arms of the angels. When he alayhi salam will lower his head, the drops of water will be dripping, and when he will raise his head, white silver beads resembling pearls will be dropping off. So Hazrat Isa alayhi salam has been raised into the heavens alive. He is there, no doubt, in the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. He will then descend, and this is one of the signs.
Yeah, and it's mentioned that every eye will see his descending. And it's also been mentioned regarding this that the angels that are going to be on the sides of Sayyidina Isa when he comes down from the sky, they will be wearing the imamah of the color of green.
I think what we were expecting is the second major sign, which was the Dajjal, because Hazrat Imam Mahdi radiallahu ta'ala anhu then brings the Muslims together, unites them, and defeats the army of the enemies of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then, as they are then going back, they hear the call that the Dajjal has been released. That I was mumbling my words there. The Dajjal has been released, and then they send Hazrat Imam Mahdi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, from recollection, from what you told us, sends a contingent to go and check. And it is the Dajjal who has now come onto the surface of the earth. And then I think we discussed, we were told about that. Let's just come back to Hazrat this thing that Isa alayhi salam raised to the heavens alive, subhanallah, and then remained there alive, I assume in Jannah.
In the skies.
Allahu Akbar.
There's four prophets that are still alive. I think three of them we talked about in the series, Khidr alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, and Ilyas alayhi salam. There's one, Idris alayhi salam, we haven't talked about. But yes, these two of them are in the land, two of them are in the skies.
Hazrat Khidr alayhi salam is in the seas, is it?
Yeah, Ilyas alayhi salam in the lands.
Ilyas alayhi salam in the lands, alhamdulillah. And Hazrat Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam was raised to the heavens. Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met them on the night of Mi'raj as well, and now he will descend. And where it fits in is that the Dajjal, Hazrat Imam Mahdi and the Muslims will be fighting the Dajjal.
Rumba, you know, there's a big link here. The Constantinople will be conquered.
Is that modern day Istanbul?
Yeah.
So modern day Istanbul will be conquered.
Will be conquered. The last minor sign is a golden mountain.
Under the Euphrates?
Under the Euphrates.
Right.
Which,
so you've got the golden mountain, you've got Imam Mahdi, and then is it this Dajjal appears?
So basically, you know, the minor sign, the one that's left, that still has not happened today, so far, Euphrates starts or ends at Istanbul. Istanbul, Imam Mahdi is going to reconquer it. And once he's reconquered this place, the Dajjal will come out. So all of this is tied in. And
you mentioned the Dajjal. We've got the clip for the Dajjal where you're describing the Dajjal. So I'll take you to your own clip. Life will become difficult. Challenges, disasters, tyranny, injustice will cover the earth. As we see at the moment, injustices are increasing. Killings are on the rise. Wars and calamities are starting to surround the world. In these dire times, where do we look towards for some relief? We look towards the hadith of Mubarakah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us the glad tidings of a righteous ruler who will fill the world with peace and justice. He is Mahdi. He will lead an army, and that army will fight a huge army of the disbelievers. A third, upon seeing the huge army of the disbelievers, will run away. Two thirds will fight, a third will die, and the final third will survive and be victorious. And as they're celebrating the victory, they will hear an announcement. O Muslims, the Dajjal has come onto your lands. Al-Masih al-Dajjal, the liar and the deceiver. Shirazbi, there is this hadith in Mubarakah that I've tried to set out in relation to Imam Mahdi, and then this announcement in relation to the Dajjal. And then, you know, the Hazrat Imam Mahdi sending out 10 horsemen, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that I know their names, I know the names of their fathers, I know the colors of their horses. These are the 10 that are sent out to investigate whether this is truly the Dajjal. What is this Dajjal?
So Dajjal is like all the hadiths, if you gather them together. So the signs of his coming will be when droughts increase, when rain stops raining, when land becomes unfertile, when rivers disappear. So you can imagine these things are starting to take place now when air changes. So air quality will change. Now this person or this thing, he'll have hairy arms, but he'll have a very clean neck. He will be around 30 years old when he is first seen.
So I think you were describing there that the Dajjal and how he would look, and the fact that he, I think in the episode you said he'd have kafir written on his forehead, and how he would mesmerize and hypnotize the Muslims, etc. And then Hazrat Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam would help the Muslims to defeat him. And I think what was really fascinating about that was that the Dajjal will be chasing Imam Mahdi and the Muslims. They will be in Bayt al-Maqdis, I think, in Jerusalem. Mm. And that Hazrat Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam will land. I remember how you described it. It was very beautiful the way he described it. Because what he said, they'll land, they'll be in, obviously, Syria. And then they will travel very, very quickly to where the Dajjal is. And they'll come into the masjid. And Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Mahdi radiallahu ta'ala anhu will say, come on to the masala and lead this line. He'll say, no, this particular one I'll pray behind you. And then after that, he leads the other salas. And then as soon as the Dajjal is outside, and he's thinking, right, I've got him. He sees the great Prophet of Allah, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, and this, you know, this scary beast who the world is scared of and who's hypnotizing everybody, starts to melt at the sight of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam and starts to run. And I think it was the gate of Lut.
Yeah.
That he's eventually caught, and that is the end of the Dajjal. End of the Dajjal, as they say, Isa alayhi salam, I remember you mentioning, will then perform Hajj, will marry, will have children as well, and then peace will take over the whole world. Everybody will be a Muslim. And Hazrat Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam will eventually leave, depart from this world, be buried next to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And at the same time, Hazrat Imam Mahdi will pass away as well. And then gradually, then this cycle starts where the world starts to go back towards...
Then you get the zombies. The zombies. Yeah, Jujan.
Yeah, is that a technical term?
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, you
I think the youngsters
yes,
don't understand zombies.
You're right. What's the next clip, actually? Because it might be Ya'juj, Ma'juj.
Ibn Isa alayhi salam unites everybody. The Dajjal perishes. What happens next? Is there now total peace in the world? Is there tranquility? Is there an Islamic era? Not quite. Then there is an announcement that the tribes of Ya'juj and Ma'juj have been let loose. We know from Surah Kahf Sharif in the glorious Quran, verse 94, that Hazrat Zulkarnain was the one who enslaved these. But today, what we want to know from our learned scholars is more information about it. Who was the great Hazrat Zulkarnain? Who are Ya'juj and Ma'juj? And why were they imprisoned? And are they? Where are they? Are they still there? Lots of questions I've got.
Hazrat Zulkarnain, he was the cousin of Hazrat Khidr alayhi salam, the very cousin of himself. And you saw the... So you remember, Adam alayhi salam, his progeny carried on. And then in the time of Nuh alayhi salam, the flood came.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone basically perished other than Nuh alayhi salam.
And those people with him on the ark?
From these people, scholars have mentioned that it's excluding the three children of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam. The rest of them, their lineage finished after that. And it was these three children of Nuh alayhi salam where civilization carried on from. So it was all their offspring. So from there, one of his children was called Yafus bin Nuh. So from all three of them, there were different offspring. Some went to the eastern part of the world, some went to the western, some stayed in the middle. Ya'juj and Ma'juj. So these people, this group is mentioned that they resided somewhere in the middle of the earth, on the planet somewhere. And but they used to cause a lot of corruption, a lot of problems. They were uncivilized, basically. They would kill everything in their path. They would eat snakes, they would eat scorpions, they would eat different, you know, things that you... They would eat rats, for example.
So we had Ya'juj and Ma'juj, these amazing creation of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Now, Hazrat Sayyidina Zulkarnain radiallahu ta'ala anhu encaged them, imprisoned them between two mountain passes. And what amazes me is that a lot of people claim to have found the place that they're caged, and yet that is knowledge that only Allah Azza wa Jalla has. And because there are times of Judgment Day, they couldn't have found them because Allah Azza wa Jalla has kept that hidden. These people, I mean, in summary, from what you told us, they will cause havoc on the earth.
They'll destroy everything in their path.
I think there was something I was reading where he said, if they came across a tree with fruit on it, they'd first chop the tree down and then eat the fruit, rather than just pluck the fruit and leave it for somebody else. And at the time of their arrival in the world, they will drink whole rivers all by themselves.
How they do that, you know, wallahu
alam. They are human form.
But we've seen, even today, we've seen that, you know, once there was a river here, now the river's not there. Once this was a part of the ocean, and now it's an island. We've seen that in the dunya, where land has been made on top of oceans and rivers, and fake rivers and oceans have been put in. So we have seen that today, that you can make artificial countries even on top of water. Someone will walk past and say that, I'm sure, you know, someone will walk past and say that it seems as if there's never been water here, because someone's, you know, because it's on land now. So we've seen that in the dunya today, where people have made islands and whatnot. So it could be linked in with that, or it could just be that they drink everything.
So we've got Ya'juj, Ma'juj, and then Hazrat Sayyidina Isa al-Islam eventually, they caused havoc on the earth. And one thing that really stuck in my mind about them was that for every person on the earth, they will outnumber them 999 to 1. That gives you an idea of the sheer number. So if the population of the world at the moment is 6.9 billion.
But bear in mind, then there's going to be a lot of wars before that. There will be a lot of wars. Numbers would have decreased. Nuclear wars and whatnot.
Okay. So all of these events happen. Eventually, Allah Azza wa Jal orders Hazrat Sayyidina Israfil alayhi salam to blow the horn. Now, this is one of the archangels who has been stood there since the time that the world was created, ready to blow this horn. Is that the best way to describe it?
Yeah.
And he is there. When Allah Zawajal gives him the command, he blows this horn. And is that the apocalypse that everybody kind of, so everything will be destroyed?
Everything will perish, yeah.
Everything will perish. Now that all the major signs have come, and what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has predicted, now everything ends. So the horn is blown, everything is destroyed, and then nothing remains. Absolutely.
There'll be a time where everything is just seized. Best word. I think everything is seized.
As far as everything material is concerned, it perishes. But the souls, I think. Remember, you mentioned, or was it Habib?
It's seized, but
the soul is seized.
The scholars explain it that it's seized, but it's like a temporary seize. So it hasn't finished. It hasn't been destroyed. It's still, but it's seized. That's something, it has a deeper meaning. Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best.
So we've got then resurrection. The good soul gets up, thinks, okay, it's the day of judgment. And suddenly a ride comes for him. And he says, right, okay. Now, nice night in the grave, and now heading to the plains of resurrection. But what about the other one who thought this was your law, and I'm just here for chilling out and making bank balances? What happens to him then when he gets up?
And then it'll hit him in his face, wouldn't it? That this was the reality, and he will, everything that he'd done in the dunya is in front of him now. And the worst, you know, I think the biggest regret would be that you can't go back. That would be
That's from the point of death, isn't it? That soul will start regretting it from the point that the angel appears, because he thought life was all about chilling out. So he realized now that everything that Allah and his Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had promised was true. So he starts regretting. Then he's already regretted in the grave. He gets up on the day of judgment, and I think they're described as being bewildered. And so
how does he get to the plains of resurrection? Now, I say that with a smile on my face, in the sense that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described everything to us.
I think he's dragged, the bad person, the evil person, is dragged towards the plains of resurrection. The angels will drag him in shackles and chains.
We're going to move on quickly because we were almost at the end of the program. We've got a few more things to tell the viewers of Madni Channel. I'm sure they've been on a long journey, and we've tried to cover like 10 months in almost a couple of hours. But Mizan, sum it up. I want each of you to sum it up in a couple of sentences. What is Shiraz Bhai Mizan?
Rumbai da sher you read all the time. Fakat itna
sabab hai. In akade bazme mehshir ka ki unki shaan e mehboobi dikhai jane wali hai.
I think that summarizes
these events are there to show the world and the creation that this is the status of my beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So mizan, accountability. Habib bhai, we're going to be held accountable. We only heard this a few weeks ago. I still remember it quite fresh in my mind. We're going to be held accountable for everything we did, to the extent that I think Bishara bhai, we were saying the khushu and khuzu, the humbleness and sincerity in your salah, you'll be asked about.
Subhanallah. You know, everything, and you know, we talked about a person who's going to be given the book of deeds as well, everything that they've done, and you know, the ones that receive it in the right hand. We're
Allah
talking about the hikmat of giving and taking
with the right
using
hand.
Your right hand, and alhamdulillah azza wa jal, not only your sunnat, but on the day of judgment, you know, the person who receives the book of deeds in the right hand, you know, alhamdulillah azza wa jal, you know, they'll be seeing success. And like Shiraz Bhai mentioned, there'll be also those sort of people whose hand will be thrust through their backs and out of their chests, and they'll be given the book.
It's like results day, isn't it? Where you've got your results here, and you ring your mates, and you go around to every relative. Look, I've got, you know, 3 A's and 2 B's or whatever, yeah. Or I've got a first class degree, yeah. And you know, and everything else, and you're so proud of it. And what Shiraz Bhai, I think, was mentioning, that on that day, exactly the same thing will happen, Habib Bhai, that you'll kind of...
Yes, he said in the Quran, he will go around, he said, here, read my book.
Yeah, read my book, you know, that's
and then he'd say, I knew this day was going to come.
Allah.
And then he will be in fi jannatin aliyah, he'll be in the high, lofty jannats. Qutufu hadaniya, but the trees will be very close to him. So even though the jannat's high and tall, the trees are tall, whenever he wants something, the tree will come to him. So
whilst the ignorant, disobedient one is struggling on the plains of resurrection,
the disobedient one, Rumbai, al-yawma nakhtimu ala afwahihim, his mouth is sealed. Now imagine this, wa tukallimuna aydihim, his hands will talk. So he can't speak, his hands are talking, and his hands are talking against him. Imagine that.
You were texting, you did this, you did that.
His hands, he's trying to, you know, back himself up, his mouth would back himself. His hands are talking against him, and just when matters can't get worse, وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسُبُونَ, his feet will support what his hands are saying. That's for the bad person, where everything's just going the wrong way for him. One
but
step
the,
after step.
The
after.
Good people, what really I enjoyed was that, you know, like on Eid day, when you read Eid and everybody's, you know, meeting, that samah, that environment, that atmosphere is indescribable. You know, when you're in the masjid, it's packed out and everybody you're seeing is people you haven't seen for years, yeah, or since last year, and you're going up to and you're meeting and everything else. That is unbelievable. And that is the type of environment, the atmosphere that it will be. You will be happy. But this Eid happiness is a great happiness, but it's short-lived. But that, the ultimate happiness, it will, you know, knowing that you've passed the ultimate exam and eternity in Jannah awaits you, must be an absolutely amazing feeling. And so that is there. Very quickly, Bridge of Sirat, Habib Bhai.
Yeah, so it's mentioned in the narrations that this is a bridge that is thinner than the hair, sharper than the sword. Every single person will have to go past it. Some will go, you know, crawling on their knees, and some will go with the speed of lightning. And on the relating to bring in the tazkir of the Ahl al-Bayt as well. Alhamdulillah, Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala, when she will cross the Bridge of Sirat, it will be mentioned that everyone to lower their gaze because the Princess of Jannah is coming. So
Allah,
this will be, mashallah, the shan and shokat of the Ahl al-Bayt as well, mashallah.
I was listening to a bayan, and the Mubalig was saying, you know, that it's sharper than, thinner than a hair, it's sharper than a sword, and whoever has to get to Jannah can only get there having passed over this bridge. There is no other route to Jannah, and the fire of hell is underneath it. And some person got up and he said, okay, why are you messing us about? Just say there's no way to get to Jannah. How can you get across a bridge that is thinner than a hair and sharper than a sword? And the reply came, by the mercy of the beloved Habib of Allah Azza wa Jal, mercy to the world. And there's a famous hadith of Barakah, and Allah Hazrat shared as well, Jibreel par bichaye par ko khabar na ho. You know, and so all these intizams are done so that the pious servants of Allah Azza wa Jal, who, like Bishad Bhai very beautifully said, honestly, golden words, ke, you know, zameen ke upar kaam, zameen ke niche aram. Once you've done that hard work and you've invested, what an investment it is. I mean, it's a 30-year investment of your time. And Allah doesn't say, go and sit in a jungle and just pray. You know, it's a 30-year investment of perhaps a couple of hours a day. But then you reap the rewards at the time of death, in your grave, on the plains of resurrection, on the bridge of Sirat, at the Mizan, you know, the Eid Milna, and then in Jannah.
Close to the ayat in Hal Jazaa'ul Ihsani Illa Al-Ihsan.
Allahu Akbar.
There's no reward for a reward except another reward.
You know, it's amazing that the whole of this journey, it's like there is a very unique fruit that you're after, and it doesn't grow properly every time you, and you may have to plant thousands of trees to pluck maybe 15, 20 fruits. But once you've got that fruit, it is worth billions. Mm. You would really look for that. That fruit would be precious, isn't it? It'd be like gold. Allah just created these billions and billions of people. But you know, when you started off and you said that Allah just says to the angels, you know, the angel says, Yalla, why are you creating these? And Allah said, I know what you do not know.
Allah.
It was those pearls, those corals, those special fruits. You know, the valleys like Hazrat Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hazrat Data Juhairi Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hazrat Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Ghosai Azam Rahmatullah Alayhi, all these great valleys of Allah, all the great Sahaba Ikram, you know, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq Radiallahu Ta'ala, Hazrat Umar Farooq Radiallahu Ta'ala, Hazrat Usman Ghani Radiallahu Ta'ala, Hazrat Mawla Ali Radiallahu Ta'ala, these were the amazing fruits that are created by this creation. And then in their feet are the valleys of Allah Azza wa Jal, in the feet of the valleys of Allah Azza wa Jal are our Piro Murshids, and in the feet of them, somewhere along the line, we are there as well. Meri gardan mein bhi hai dur ka dora tera. And that's what it is, isn't it, in essence, that this, and the billions and billions will go into that fire, but Allah Azza wa Jal will take the best ones and say, well, at least they tried. And it's not the, you know, in the school we used to have, I think I used this analogy before, we used to have effort and attainment. And they used to say, you know, you used to have A for effort and E's and D's for attainment. And, you know, you used to go home and tell your parents, oh, look, I've got A's yet. And when somebody told them, they said, that's the real column. But in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, it's amazing because it's the other way around, isn't it? The attainment column, you know, kakne mere palle, you know, je tu vekha amla valle,
Allah,
te kakne mere palle, te je vekha me rahmat rabdi, balle balle balle. You know, you look at the effort column, and Allah Azza wa Jal is rewarding you for the efforts, isn't he? Not the achievements. And I think perhaps that's why Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi wrote that, you know, innamal a'malu bin niyat, as the first hadith in Barakah in Bukhari Sharif. Okay, so long as your intentions are there, you try to please Allah Azza wa Jal, you try to pray, you try to get humbleness and sincerity, you try to understand the Quran, you try to serve your parents, you try to learn the deen of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you try to act upon sunnah. Yes, you will make mistakes, yes, you will falter, yes, you will fall. But it's that effort when you pick yourself up and again repent in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that repentance is your connection, isn't it, Habibi?
Yeah, that is the day when we're truly going to see the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the how He pardons His slaves, how He's going to make them enter the Garden of Paradise. Not because of our actions or because of what we did in the world, but because of His mercy that He's going to have upon us, inshallah.
So, after that, the Jahannamis go to the people of are destined to hell will go in. The Muslims who go in because of their sins will serve their punishments and come out. And we only did that a few weeks ago, so we don't need to recap that too much. And then Jannah, this amazing place, Yaar. Oh, what?
So mention, I mean, regarding Jannah, that people, when they'll go and be walking in, they're going to be rubbing their arms with each other. That's how much a rush there's going to be.
Allah,
there's going to be so many people that our arms will be touching with each other. And there will be a lot of people.
Whenever I think of entering Jannah, I can't get that hadith of Mubarak out of my mind where Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is describing the eight doors of Jannah. and is asked, is there anybody who will enter through all eight doors? Who will, all eight doors will beckon, come through us. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, my Abu Bakr. My Abu Bakr is the one who will be beckoned from all the doors. The announcer will say, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, come through this door, come through this door. What an amazing personality. And then the eternal, I mean, we only last week, I think we described the beauty of Jannah. And doesn't it create that will in you? Ya Allah, I just want to see it, man. Hmm. You know, you find out something so beautiful, you think, yaar, kuch bhi ho, maine dekhni hai, yaar. I just want to see it. I mean, you know, you want to get a glimpse of it because, and it's amazing because Shiraz Bey then, you know, said that no eye can comprehend it, no imagination can really imagine it because it's many, many times more beautiful, more amazing, more magnificent than all our imaginations put together. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. In this way, viewers of Madni Channel, we have come through an amazing journey of the soul. What we've tried to do is set out for you the reality of this life. This life is very short. We made a promise in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, Ya Allah, we will obey you. And as Shiraz Bey told us, that we were made to forget, but the test was still there. And the journey, we're still in the middle of it. We're in the first phase. If you're still alive, there is time. Repent in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Change your ways. And then this epic, this long journey is very easy. Do you know on the Day of Judgment, it's 50,000 years long. That for the servant of Allah Azza wa Jal, the obedient one in this world, when his good deeds are presented in his right hand, he will run to his friend and his family and say, look at my book of deeds. Then he will be with his family, his friends in Jannah. They will visit each other. We heard, you know, only last week, the couches, the cars, the horses, you know, the conveyances, the grapes of Jannah, the fruit of Jannah, the rivers of Jannah, the palaces of Jannah, the rubies, everything. So amazing and eternal, never ending. If you want that, then there is only one route. And that is the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But true love, love that shows itself in your life, on your face, in your actions, at Fajr time, at Zohar time, at Asr time, at Maghrib time, at Isha time, when it's time to serve your parents, when it's time to read the Quran, when it's time to earn halal, you do that above the ground. As Bashar Bey very beautifully said, work hard above the ground, and then rest, not only in your grave, but rest all the way to the gardens of paradise. May Allah Azza wa Jal accept all the hard work of these brothers and all the efforts they made. And may Allah Azza wa Jal give us all humbleness and sincerity. And may Allah Azza wa Jal bless us all and protect us all. Ameen bi jahin Nabi al-Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Remember the hereafter and you will remember why you are here. Remember the hereafter.